This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Hey, good morning. It's a Tuesday morning. Welcome into the Mark Cox Morning Show. I'm not completely unorganized this morning. I did make it into the studio with a couple of minutes to spare. Glad that you're with us. Kim St. Anjan here, Carl Middleman, Sue Thomas along soon with a look at your traffic. Everybody back on track today after being knocked off by daylight saving time? I want to bring that up again.
I had no issue.
I think it was hard on Sunday.
Do you really?
I thought it was hard on Sunday. We went to church on Saturday, and then we had our nephew's soccer game, and my husband's looking at the clock on their oven because it hadn't been changed yet. He's like, I'm going to go for a quick run. I'm like, what are you talking about? We have to leave in like a half hour. And he's like, no, it's 7. I'm like, no, it's after 8 right now. And I'm sure a lot of people were like that too, not realizing that if you haven't looked at your phone, that automatically changes. You're an hour behind.
This is the key. It was stress-free for me because I forgot, even though we talked about it last week. Fortunately, I didn't miss anything, but, you know, I wasn't stressed because I didn't even think about it. I still woke up at the exact same time, about 7 a.m., which technically was 8 a.m. because it was an hour later. So it didn't seem to make any difference to me.
If you woke up at 7, then you really woke up at 6. We're springing forward.
Right. But 7 a.m. is when what my clock was on when I woke up, right?
Oh, I see. So you really woke up.
At 8.
Yes.
Yes.
My brain hurts.
That's okay.
Alarm woke me up, and I was where I needed to be at the time I was supposed to be.
Where was that, in bed?
No, at Enterprise.
Oh, I see. That's good. Anyway, tell you what, we had a great show for you today. You know, as we put these shows together for you, these programs together, it's sort of a living, breathing thing. Things kind of happen. Things kind of tend to fall in place, and they certainly did today. Of course, you already have John Lamping on every Tuesday. I was happy that happened to fall on today, because yesterday another article dropped. What has Mark been talking about now for, I don't know, week and a half, roughly? The city-county merger and the fact that they're trying to bring it back. And yesterday, an article came out in the St. Louis Business Journal. Now, this is behind a paywall, so I had to jump through some hoops to get my hands on it. But it's the case for an incremental city-county merger, and also the other little. The other little gem that I found in when I went to read the article is a link to another article done in February on the Business Journal with an interview with Kara Spencer, who's all in.
I'm sure.
Just so you know. So here we find ourselves in a little bit of a odd situation, because the woman we all want out as mayor, which is Tashara Jones, is against any kind of merger because that's how her constituents feel about it. And Kara Spencer is all in for any kind of merger. And then you start to wonder, why have all the ducks fallen in a row for Kara Spencer all of a sudden?
See, I don't think this merger's ever going to happen. I'm a little surprised that Tashara Jones is so against it. Maybe she just doesn't want to feel like she's going to lose any bit of power that she currently has, because there's no way that the voters in St. Louis County would ever support
her. Well, I don't know. I don't know that
there's
that's
no
true.
Way.
I don't know.
You would be silly. You would be a bad leader almost in the city of St. Louis if you didn't support the merger, because it's greatly benefiting the city of St. Louis.
It's not
the
about
the county is the one that it would not want this, because the city has a lot of issues. It's leeching off of the county.
And you know, if you buy that logic, Tashara Jones cares more about power.
It would dilute
is maybe the best word I'm looking for, the power of Black Democrats in the city of St. Louis. And that is of a larger concern to her than anything else. I honestly believe that. Just my 2 cents, right? And that's why large percentages of the Black community in St. Louis are leery of this, because the city becoming just another municipality in the county or becoming part of the county would suddenly give them one of the biggest voting blocks as the city, but the city's not together.
Mm-hmm.
So it diminishes the amount of power that they would have. They'd give up a lot of things. Anyway, fascinating that this is coming back up again now, and fascinating that I just discovered that one of these leading candidates is for it and the other one is against it. So we're going to talk to John Lamping about that a little bit later this morning. Of course, the other big issue, the state, as we talked about, the Senate yesterday voted to pass the crime bill, which means it's gone back to the House, and assuming they don't make any changes, it's off to the governor's desk, which he said he would sign. We're going to talk to Nick Schroer coming up in the 6 o'clock hour. He's the state senator that sponsored that bill. We're going to get his take on that. We've also got Andrew Bailey, the attorney general, agreed to come on with us this morning and talk a little bit more. Have you seen the whole auto sign controversy?
No, I was thinking you were talking about that massive win he just had against China.
Well, I think that's something we certainly talked to him about. The reason I invited him on is because he asked the Department of Justice to look into the auto pen signatures Joe Biden used on a lot of controversial things like pardons and other things like that. And what they've discovered is that at the bottom of the sheet, it says signed in Washington on blah, blah, blah date. And when they checked those dates, Joe Biden was on a beach somewhere. He was nowhere near Washington, D.C., which begs the question, who is in charge and who is making decisions to sign those documents in the absence of the president of the United States? He wasn't even in town.
Well, I saw some joke about how there was a stamp that Joe Biden had with his signature on it, and they would just stamp his signature.
Maybe that was
the joke.
I don't know if it's a stamp.
No, I doubt it, but that was the joke I saw.
And they've been using auto pens for years, but there's some legality question about it. And we're going to talk to Andrew Bailey about that coming up here in the 7 o'clock hour this morning. And a little later, speaking of city politics, a person who could have a huge impact on a lot of this, and that is Donna Behringer. Now, she's a Democrat. She's running, in fact, won the primary, at least got the most votes in their jacked up primary system here for comptroller. And I listened to her the other day a little bit on the Reardon show, and we invited her on this morning. We're going to talk to her about that because, you know, she would it'd be a major upset for her to take out Darlene Green, who's been the comptroller for 30 years. And it's an important position that a lot of people just don't understand. So we'll talk to Donna this morning in the 8 o'clock hour. So lots of good stuff on the show for you today. Carl Middleman, let's get to our top stories, please.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
During the Biden administration, which estimated the federal government fraud to be $500 billion. Mm. So just to be clear, that's not a Trump administration thing. That's a Biden administration thing.
Yeah, that's Elon talking about all of the different stuff that he is doing right on Doge, and I think he's absolutely right. You need to understand that things across the country, the attacks on him are ramping up.
Can you deport a legal immigrant? Absolutely we can. I mean, did he violate the terms of his visa? Did he violate the terms of his residency here?
Woo, Tom Homan fired up the left yesterday, baby. He got him fired up because he talked about the fact that, yeah, you might be here legally because we gave you an extended visa. If you participate in things that are against America, we can still deport you.
Breaking tonight, the state's quest to take over St. Louis Metropolitan Police clears a major hurdle. Now the future over who will control the police department is becoming more clear.
Woo, yeah, baby, there it went. It's going to be state control. It's just a matter of how long it takes them to get that put in place. And I don't know if it's going to be next month or if it's going to be August, but it is coming.
There's some other vehicles that there are actually several vehicles involved in this. Right now, I just arrived at the scene. It is a Cybertruck that is totally torched. SFD putting out some of the hot spots right now, but apparently there's some other vehicles that have been torched as well in this Tesla parking lot.
They're turning their hatred toward the product of one Elon Musk, probably because they can't get to the rockets, you think? This happened in Seattle last night. In Seattle late last night, four Tesla trucks, Cybertrucks, on a private storage lot. Sort of, you know, the one in Chesterfield that I found out there at the mall?
Mm-hmm.
That's where they're staging their trucks before they move them to their couple of lots in the area. I don't know why they use a mall parking lot. This one in Seattle happened to be more secure than that. It had a fence around it. And somebody got inside of the fence and poured some kind of accelerant on four Cybertrucks and lit them on fire. Now, this is not unusual. Fires lit by arsonists are not unusual in Seattle because it's a hotbed of liberal lunacy in Seattle, Washington. But you have to. None of the other cars on the lot were torched. It was just the four Cybertrucks, which the left seems to have adopted as some sort of symbol of Elon Musk. I don't know why.
All this week, though, we've been watching videos on social media where people, lunatics, are randomly
attacking people in Cybertrucks.
Yeah, I mean, they're going and taking like bats and just whacking the crap, for lack of a better word, out of the Cybertrucks.
How do you not understand why? If they don't like him, why wouldn't they attack his product?
Well, because it's really I get that in theory, but it's like you're attacking you're attacking random people's property. They just happen to, I guess, they're looking at it as, well, they supported Elon Musk, and I don't like that.
They're insane.
But if they're on lots, they don't belong to anybody.
Well, yeah. they belong to the dealership.
Elon Musk. But what she's talking about is the video I saw this week where this lunatic comes screaming off the street as somebody's cruising
like
down the street in a Cybertruck. And they're like banging on the cars like they're angry that you dared to buy something that Elon Musk produced. They've lost their collective minds. And my guess is the person enjoying this the most is Donald Trump, because all that ire that was directed at him has been redirected toward Elon, and Elon's got blank you money. He doesn't care.
Now they have that big cyber attack yesterday. X was down for while yesterday. And did you hear that Musk was saying that the IP addresses that were affiliated with that cyber attack were originating in the Ukraine area? I don't know where in Ukraine, but somewhere in that vicinity, he says, is where it came from.
Yep. You got to wonder about what's going on here. All right. I thought that was interesting breaking news from overnight. All right. We're going to get to a quick break here. Carl Middleman,
yes.
It is a Tuesday morning. Who's got our national anthem?
Yes. Yesterday was Nicole Murray's birthday, but it was also Carrie Underwood's birthday. And someone said, well, why didn't you play Carrie Underwood? So here she is.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's. So thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code SHAVE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code SHAVE. Enjoy!
Ugh, your clothes are too tight, yet you can't lose weight, even though you've tried so many diets. The reason you're having trouble losing weight could be a liver clogged with fat, and that is slowing your metabolism. Introducing Omicid, a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight, and it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Find out more and see the university studies at omicid.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Today. I want to begin, but among other things, everyone's attacking you for your position. What are you doing in the government? There was a cyber attack on X today, which shut it down and may have been foreign sourced.
Yes.
It's a big story. You want to give us a moment on that?
We're not sure exactly what happened, but there was a massive cyber attack to try to bring down the X system with IP addresses originating in the Ukraine area.
Well, so that's your suspicion. Is the website, is the internet up? Is it up yet?
It's up yet.
It's up yet. Okay, good. But I just...
Yeah. So, you know, yesterday morning we were running the Twitter poll on daylight saving time. And near the end of the show, Kim and Carl both said to me, wait a minute, Twitter's not working. We can't get the feed to load. And I had already pulled up the final result of the Twitter poll, apparently seconds before somebody in the Ukraine fired off some sort of a cyber attack against Twitter. I don't know if it came from Vladimir's residence or if he's got a sub site somewhere. I'm kidding, of course. I have no idea where it came from. I mean, it could have come from the Donbas region of Ukraine, where all the Russians are.
Well, that's going to be the big thing. I mean, I'm assuming they will find out specifically where it came from. Or they already know, and they just haven't disclosed it. This is the new way of kind of getting back as a cyber attack.
You know, because I don't pretend to understand all of that stuff. I heard a friend from ThrottleNet on yesterday with Reardon. I thought they did a great job of explaining kind of how these things happen. And if as much as anything, even if you have the greatest defenses in the world, which you have to imagine Elon Musk does, the point of it is it still clogs up the system, right? Like if you knocked out the power at Chick-fil-A when there were 500 people in line for lunch, even though it's the most efficient system in the world, that would clog up the system. And his point was what they try to do is just overload the defenses, so it has to slow down things to try to process what's happening. And whether or not it did any damage or not, it causes service disruptions. I think I've explained that correctly. So I don't know. It seems to be working okay this morning. I was looking at it earlier. Elon Musk is like, whatever. He seems totally unconcerned with it, but he already knows where it came from. So when you've got when you're talking in the ear of the president, that could be bad news for whoever the hackers are. Let's just put it that way. Coming up, we're going to get to Kim on a whim. Stay tuned.
Kim on a whim.
A high school track star out of Virginia has taken some, what I would say is well-deserved heat over what happened during a recent 4x200 meter relay race at the state championship at Liberty University. This was on March 4th, and there's a video that's basically gone viral on social media. Maybe some of you have seen it, where this girl is rounding a corner, basically, in this relay race, and one of her opponents passes her, and right as that person passes her, the baton that she's holding, she just starts whacking her over the head to the point where her opponent actually runs off the track. She can't even finish the race. Well, this girl is trying to say, no. It was an accident. I accidentally hit her with my baton. Listen to her now responding after all this heat she's taken.
Everybody has feelings. So you're physically hurt, but you're not thinking of my mental, right? They're going off of one angle. A couple times hitting her, my baton got stuck behind her back like this, and it rolled up her back. I lost my balance, and when I pumped my arms again, she got hit. I know my intentions, and I would never hit somebody on purpose. They're assuming my character, calling me ghetto, racist slurs, death threats, all of this just because of a 9-second video.
I'm not buying for 1 second that the baton got stuck and that she lost her balance and that she accidentally, repeatedly beat the crap out of her opponent's head. If you watch this video, to me, it's very obvious that this was intentional because as soon as the girl passed her, she conveniently had her baton stuck and lost her balance. Now, what I do not agree with is her receiving death threats and these racist insults.
I'll never
stand for that.
I don't know what race has to do with it. You're looking at a video. The people can be purple, green, yellow, orange. It doesn't matter what color they are. They could all have the same skin color as Donald Trump. What's obvious is one person whacked the other one in the back of the head with a steel pipe. That's what happened. Anybody can see it. It doesn't matter what angle you look at it from. She was doing just fine till the girl started to pass her, and she raised the thing up and hit her in the back
multiple
of the head.
Multiple times, at least twice.
As hard as she could. And the girl, of course, stumbles and goes off the track, and she's holding the back of her head, and she has a concussion
and a possible skull fracture.
It's something that's never happened before in the history of track and field that I can remember, and it was pretty obviously intentional. I just think the whole crocodile tears thing. Now she's sorry she did it, but there's no doubt as to what happened.
She's sorry she did it. Only after
she got caught
and the world came after her because, like I said, the video's gone viral on social media. People are saying really, I'm sure, terrible things about her that are not warranted. I can't stand when that happens, by the way, where someone does something bad and people just do the worst things in response. Like, it is social media, but it's just people who have no class. I would have no problem tweeting at this girl and saying something like, classless, there's no way that this was an accident, I would say something like that, but never would I ever want a death threat and things like that. That bothers me.
It's the downside of this thing we've created here, right? Where you can sometimes go online and many people use on Twitter fake names and you never really know who they are, and they just feel free to say whatever they want because there's no repercussion for it at all. And everybody should get punched in the nose just once to know what it feels like. You would never walk up to somebody's face and say those things to them because you'd get punched in the nose.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't even think this girl was bothered by the fact that she was disqualified. I think what probably prompted her to want to come out and say what she just said was because of the pushback from social media.
Yeah, well, how about, it was an emotional race and I let my emotions get the better of me for a moment. I'm sorry. I really wish I could take that back, but I can't. I pray for her quick recovery, blah, blah, blah. I that would have gone a lot further toward redeeming her than her trying to argue that the baton got stuck behind her back And when she whipped it out, it accidentally went behind her head and then came down on the other girl's head in a slashing motion.
Multiple times.
Multiple times.
The only thing is,
It's a shame we couldn't hear the audio because my guess is there were some choice words uttered right about then as well.
I would think the girl who was getting hit would be screaming. The article that I read said that everybody who was watching that relay race gasped, like could clearly see at the time, like, this is very intentional because she was mad that the girl was passing her. I'm assuming it was the end of the race and she didn't want to be in third place because there was already a girl ahead of those two.
If you haven't seen it, you've got to go out and search for it and take a look.
Maybe they've lawyered up, though, and they know a lawsuit's coming from the victim's family. So maybe the lawyer advised them to deny it, because then you just have to leave it up to a jury or a judge to interpret, you know, was this intentional or is there any chance that this could have been accidental?
So the first story I read on this said that both teams had been disqualified from the race, but that doesn't make any sense. Why would the girl that got attacked get disqualified?
She was
that a wrong
bumping
headline?
The other girl beforehand.
Oh, they disqualified her for the bump?
Yes.
Okay.
Because that's why the other girl got mad and hit her in the head.
I know.
No, it was an accident, Carl. It got stuck.
I'm sorry. Allegedly, that's
her
what
argument
happened if you
was that when you turn that corner, everybody gets into the inside lane. And all she was trying to do was cut in front of this girl when she supposedly bumped her, and that's when the girl hit her.
Don't you hate when, like, you accidentally stab people? It sucks.
The girl was still to her right when she hit her, so she hadn't cut over yet. I just wonder, maybe she eased over a little bit and bumped her. It's kind of hard to tell because they are moving really fast. I mean, you could slow-mo it and see it.
Yeah, actually, I have not seen a slow-mo version of this, but that would be very interesting.
Maybe we should.
It just seems very obvious to me when you watch this video that it's not an accident. You just look silly now trying to say this. Her career's probably over, and any dreams she had of competing in college. I mean, obviously there is grace, but it's hard to want to have grace for somebody when they're vehemently denying that it was intentional and they are continuing to lie. So grace still exists, but she just needs to fess up to it.
She needs to fess up. Did you run track in high school?
Mm-mm. I was very fast, though. That was like my big thing in elementary school, even into high school. I was very, like, whenever we'd have a relay race, I was always the last person to carry the baton.
Whenever we'd have a relay race, I was always the last person because I was not fast.
No, I think the last person is usually fast to finish off the race.
In high school, I was on the field portion of track and field. I did shot put and discus and all that stuff. And at the meets, just to spruce things up, they had what they called a fat man's relay. So they would have the field athletes compete against each other in just a relay around the track one time. Each of us was running like a quarter of the track, because none of us could run the whole thing probably without keeling over and dying at some point. And as I remember those batons, they were like lightweight aluminum. I'm not even sure if I hit it at the rate they were going. I'm not even sure. They must have changed that material over the years, because it would had to have been heavier than the thing we used to carry. It strikes me to inflict that sort of damage.
It says it's still when I'm Googling it, it says that high school track and field relay batons are typically made from that aluminum,
yeah,
a lightweight durable
aluminum
material. But I mean, you think about if you're using enough force. I mean, even if I took a banana and whacked you over the head hard enough, it would still hurt. I mean, I'm not saying it's the same as, you know, like a steel
a
pipe,
banana, yeah.
But I'm just saying,
maybe
like, anything could hurt if you're using enough force.
Yeah. All right, well.
Why don't we try that? Why don't we get off camera here during the break, you know? Why don't I get an aluminum pipe, a baton, and just whack you a few times, and we'll put it on social media?
Remember back before political correctness, when you could call something like that a fat man's relay? These days, you'd be accused of weight bias because of that stupid promo we run all the time on this radio station. Weight bias is a serious problem. Give me a break. People have been making fun of people that are overweight since, you know, the turn of the
ever, but
the turn of time,
overweight.
The dawn of time.
What is sad to me about that is that, well, let me just preface it with this, okay? There are people who are on medication,
yes,
and that can make you over. Like, there are many factors. that can contribute to that. But they were like, and then I blame myself. And I'm like, well, yeah, like any weight I have right now, like I do blame myself. I ate the Samoas yesterday and I ate four of them and I knew I should have stopped. And now Mark brought cookies and I'm going to eat some of those. And I'm supposed to be logging my diet for my midwife and she's not going to be pleased with that. So... yeah, I mean, I should blame myself
blame
because I sat in bed and ate the Samoas yesterday.
Break it down and just say you had oats.
Yeah,
you're right. I did. I had oats and eggs, and you're right. That is what I had. Thank you, Carl.
Uh huh. All right,
working for you.
It's all about perspective.
Coming up, speaking of perspective, have you heard about the meltdown in the stock market? We're going to address that a little bit here when we come back from the break. Stay tuned.
Can you translate the Doge savings, I'll call them, the budget savings, into actual budget reductions, lower the baseline, bend the baseline lower? In other words, how's that going to work?
Well, we're going to use all of our executive tools to make those savings permanent. We can use rescissions. The president ran on impoundment. We're going to do everything we can to make sure that those are not merely something that goes on a website, but becomes permanent. And we're going to be able to do that. We'll work with Congress to do it, but we've also been aware of the extent to which Congress has had a hard time passing cuts of any magnitude. And so what we want to do is everything we can to use presidential tools to bank those savings home.
Yeah, that's right. That's Russell Vogt, oh, by the way, at OMB, talking about trying to impact what's going on in spending, government spending, right? I mean, I think that's important. You know, this morning on the way in, I was listening to an interview with Molly Ball on the Gordon Deal Show, and she, of course, is a journalist, and she's a senior political correspondent at the Wall Street Journal, and they had her on there talking about the market meltdown. Have you seen this, Kim?
Mm-hmm.
Have you read the headlines? Stock futures edge up after recession fears triggered by a market sell-off. Now, what did we talk about yesterday morning here? We talked about the fact that Donald Trump never said there was going to be a recession. He was asked, do you think there's going to be a recession? And his answer to the same question twice was, I'm not going to speculate on that because it serves no purpose. How do I know if there's going to be a recession later this year? If he had said no, most politicians don't talk in definitives. If he had said no, there's not going to be a recession, and then there was, then they would come back in 6 months and say, but Donald Trump said there wasn't going to be a recession. What's wrong with him? He didn't answer the question.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I don't know. Every time they ask him that, he moved on to something else. But all of the headlines said it stoked recession fears because the president didn't say there wouldn't be a recession. So what happened? A sell-off on Wall Street. So let's talk about this for a moment. The stock market goes up. The stock market goes down. Who got hurt yesterday? The stock market was off, what was it? It's down 1% for the year, 1.1% for the year. The S&P 500 is down 4.3% for the year. The stock market, I would mention, is at record highs. Statistically, this is a pimple on an elephant's butt. That's how you need to look at this. If you are 30 years old, if you're 50 years old, if you're 65 years old, nothing that happened yesterday impacted your life. If you're a day trader trying to shop the market for deals and you bought a bunch of crap and then the market dove, well, guess what? That's one of the risks that you accept if you're a day trader. For most of us, we're not going to notice this. I heard Gordon Deal say this morning, not a good day to look at the balance on your retirement accounts, blah, blah, blah. And you know, nobody should be checking those every day. Listen, I worked in the financial services industry for 4 years. I got a Series 7 license with the federal government, had to pass this big, long test, all this stuff, right? They tell you if you pass that, you know more about the market than 90% of Americans. Forget all that. I did learn a lot about it, but the most important thing I learned is that if in 1980 you were smart enough to start putting away a couple thousand dollars a year in the stock market, today you would be a multimillionaire if you had done that. Over time, the market goes up. And there are times during war when it might go down, but then it goes back up. It's like, it looks like, if you look at that chart, there's an American Funds chart out there. I'm trying to remember the name of the fund. So some of my friends will remind me this morning here, I'm sure. And you follow that chart from 1930, like after the 1920s, after the stock market crashed, all that stuff included wars, everything, presidential changes. The market keeps going up. What you've got are institutional investors who've gone in and they've sold off, right, out of fear of this tariff or that tariff. And guess what they're going to do today? Everything in the stock market is on sale today. Did you understand that? If you've got a bunch of money sitting there that you don't have invested, today might be a good day to go buy something, because guess what? Prices fell yesterday. And if you're in the stock market and you're not a day trader, you're in it for the long haul. You'd be dumb to overreact to what happened to the stock market. That's all I'm saying. And then all the people that hate Trump, oh, look what Trump's doing to the stock market. A little bit of short-term pain, a lot of long-term gain. Just keep that in mind. That's what I'm telling you here. Coming up next hour, we'll talk to Nick Schroer, state senator, who is the one that sponsored the crime bill that passed yesterday. We'll be back.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Survivor 48 is here. And after every episode, dig deep into the show with On Fire, the official Survivor podcast. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.